Lao Tzu said that every journey starts with one step. And I guess what I want to talk about is starting, just starting, taking a step. People don't understand the power of beginning a journey. And so many people think that a journey needs to be clear from the beginning, that you have to know where you're going, what it's about, where to rent the car, what hotel to stay in. It goes on and on. There's so many journeys that have to be worked on before they start, and they have a kind of deja vu quality. You're already visiting the places that you're going to. And there's something somewhat unsatisfying by the predictable quality of so many journeys. And what I would like to encourage is that if you have any undertaking in your life that you would like to begin, start it. Just start it. You don't have to know how it will end, where it will end, where it will take you, really. You just have to know that once you take that step, life happens, things happen, anything can happen. And until you take that step, nothing happens. I read a statistic once that 80% of Americans live within 20 miles of the house they were born in. I was not one of them. I couldn't wait to get out of Detroit. I used to tell people that the stork was on its way to New York, and somehow it dropped me in Detroit. And I needed to get to New York as soon as I humanly could, and did. And it didn't even prove to be the last place I went, because the journey started moving back across country, ended up in Hollywood, which was kind of a place I wanted to go to, but I took all the wrong directions, but ultimately ended up there. I know that there's a journey to be had, and it just starts with going. I remember as a kid that the post-LSD 1960s, all I could think about was I needed to take a journey to the East. I needed to learn more about this world that I had witnessed that nobody in Western society or culture was talking about, except for Tim Leary. And I wanted to go into the underpinnings of it, which were clearly in the mystical traditions of Buddhism and Hinduism. And so I began by buying myself a ticket to Greece, because I had friends who lived in Greece who were leaving their home and offering me their house and their donkey and their goat and a number of cats, one of whom had just given birth, and I was told that my first job was to drown them because they had too many cats on the island. I couldn't do that, but luckily the cats were smart enough to stay away from me, and so I never got to have to fulfill that obligation. But what was really powerful for me was that I arrived in Greece on an island called Paros in the Cyclades, and I began this unknown journey. I didn't know where it was going. I just knew that I thought it was going to go east. And I remember writing a letter to my parents about all the places I was going to visit, Baghdad and Byzantium and Istanbul. I mean, on and on. I just thought I'm going to take this huge journey. But I had only enough money, in a sense, to get me going, to buy my ticket to Greece. And then I had, I think, like 2,000 left and a year and a half ahead of me. And somehow I stretched out $2,000 to cover that much time. And I never knew exactly where I was going, but I knew staying still was not the answer, that I needed to keep in motion. And somewhere along the line, I learned this wonderful line, which I use all the time, God loves those who are in motion. And the reason that's true is because very little happens to those who sit still. Stuff can happen, definitely meditators, creative people in their stillness find a motion that is not physical, but is creative. It's inspirational, it's meditative, it can dig deep, it can be a journey within. Swami Nityananda said, go into your heart and roam. Well, that's a journey. But I just never knew quite where I was headed, exactly where I would end up. But I just kept going, and I kept waiting for things to happen, signals along the way about this is where I'm supposed to be. I somehow knew I wanted to live with Tibetans. And so I slowly made my way to Nepal and Kathmandu, and I met these Tibetans, and I said, I want to live with you. And they said, great. And I moved in with these Tibetans and the Kathmandu stupa. And it was an extraordinary immersion in a life that I fell in love with. You heard about Tibetan tea with rancid yak butter. It's one of my favorite drinks to this day. It's one of the great things that you cannot find anywhere but in Tibet and Kathmandu. And I really opened myself up to the unknown daily, regularly. You know, I had this moment in a dream while I was in India that said Rajpur, Rajpur. I said, what's Rajpur? And the next day I was on a bus and it goes into a city called Rajpur. And I pulled the handle and I said, let me off. And I got off and I had no idea why I'm in Rajpur, but I had a dream that I was in Rajpur. And I asked, are there any spiritual teachers here? Is there anything going on here? And they said, yes. There was a woman named Ananda Mahima, who was one of the great Indian teachers, and she happened to have an ashram there, and she happened to be in residence that day. So I went there, and I knocked on the ashram door, and they invited me in, and she was giving satsang. And I went and sat in her presence, and it was like the first time I'd been in the presence of a saint that I knew of. And at one point, she said to me, or actually to everybody, does anyone have any questions? And she looked at me. And I had nothing but questions. But the minute she asked the question, nothing. I had no questions left because she, in her presence, answered everything. I would never have met her. And that moment of being with her, I have kind of codified as the beginning of my spiritual life. Because I felt she took away the question and she provided me with this unfolding of answers that has gone on ever since. I moved in with these Tibetan monks and I had these carpets that they needed me to sell because they had no money, and I took them back to America and I went to this Oriental art store that I knew about on 7th Avenue because I once bought a Buddha there. And I asked the proprietor, whose name was Rudy, if he wanted to buy these carpets so I could send these guys money. And he said, no, he's not interested in carpets, but he told me where I could sell them. He asked me what I was doing in India, and I said I'd gone to find a teacher. He said, did you find one? I said, no. He said, well, I can teach you everything you want to know. And I knew it was true. Rudy lived 4 blocks from where I began my journey around the entire world. I could have just walked those 4 blocks, but I had to go around the world. I had to circumvent the globe in order to earn those 4 blocks. It was an essential part of the journey. That whole journey started without knowing where I was going, what was going to happen, how it was going to unfold, what would unfold, how long I would be gone, if I would ever come back. None of that was known, but I took the step. I began. I was talking today with Bonnie here about writing. A number of people actually approached me about writing, about starting writing. And for all these complexities about writing, and what do I write and how do I write it, and should I do this and should I do that, and what about the ending? And I just said, start writing. You don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to know what it's about. You don't have to know anything. Put your pen on a piece of paper and let it start to move and see what happens. A poem may happen. A drawing may happen. A beginning of an amazing novel may happen. You will not know until you start moving that pen or that piece of paper. We don't use typewriters anymore, but a computer. You know, you start this process going. A few weeks ago, I gave a talk in Los Angeles about how I had heard about these children being taken from their parents at the border, and I got so deeply upset. And it wasn't a Bruce upset. It was a vast, almost universal horror that came over me, like a witnessing of a kind of evil that was opening in front of me. And I just felt, I have to do something. I don't know what to do, but I can't just sit and listen. I can't just send money to, you know, some organization. I had to do something. And something in me said, just start talking about what you feel. Just begin to express your concern. And so in that very class, I started talking about exactly what I'm saying to you now. And this idea started to formulate as I was talking that maybe I should make a movie, because I know how to make movies. Or maybe a little movie just about a mother and her child escaping some terrible drama in some Central American country and making it to America only to have her child taken away. And that there would be some question or some statement afterward, like vote, or is this who we are? Or this is not just a crime against immigrants, it's a crime against humanity. These ideas just started coming, and I started expressing it to the class, and I said, anybody who wants to be part of this, who wants to help me understand what to do, let me know. And hands went up. And one of them, who's a man who's one of the heads of the directing program at the American Film Institute, who's a student and a wonderful friend, and he says to me, my best friend is the head of immigration for the ACLU. Why don't I put you in touch? I said, wow. I never knew anybody in the ACLU. And he made a connection because I began something. I started something. I reached out. And this went on and on. Another person in class who's here right now, Genna, said to me the line that I just read to you, this is not a crime against immigrants, it's a crime against humanity. And I said that to someone who came to visit me the next day, and it turned out their best friend was the United Nations Council for the crimes against humanity trials in Rwanda, and immediately put me in touch with this woman. And the field just started to open up. This 3 weeks later, I have a new corporation, an LLC. I have a bank account. I have a producer. I have the editor of one of the Jurassic Park films, all in play. And we're shooting this movie in 3 weeks. We're shooting it with my housekeeper, who looks wonderful. Her nephew, her uncle is the pastor of a church. The whole church is now working with us. They're going to be all the extras. We have scouted locations all within 20 minutes of my house in San Rafael, because a three-year-old child can't be driven miles and miles to make a movie. So all of this thing is just happening, all because one thing. I felt I needed to say something. Now we're forming a company that's based on the idea of, if you see something, say something or do something. And the idea is very simple. We're going to make this movie with an iPhone. Anybody can make a movie with an iPhone. Anybody. You don't need money. And I'm not taking money from anybody, because I want this to be the kind of film that you can make, that anyone in the world can make. And we will create, perhaps, if this works out, a platform for people who make films, images, that we can then help promote to organizations that might want or need them. I don't know what this is about. I had no interest in starting a company. I had no interest really in making a movie. I just knew I needed to do something, and I took a step, and This is happening. It is explaining more to me than maybe it is even to you, but it is so instructive because out of nothing but intention, out of nothing but saying yes to an activity, things happen. You can change your life. You can change the world. You can change how you live every day of your life with just one new element that you bring into play. It is so inspiring to me that this can happen. And I'm just watching it happen. And I have this amazing assistant, friend, producer named Anne, and Cameron, who works, has been working for me. She created a website like within a day. You can go to the website, it's called immigrantfilm.org, and you'll see what we're doing. And it's in play because if you put something out there, you can make it real. Anybody, I mean, this is not something that's for everybody else. And that's the message I'm trying to get across. And I don't mean to dwell on this film. I'm trying to dwell on the idea that if you have intention to, for example, wake up spiritually, if you have an intention to love more people in your life, if you have an intention to serve humanity or one other person, one step begins that journey. One step. And every one of us is capable of it. You will have no idea where it will end up, if it will be successful, if it will be fun, if it will be exhausting and lead to nothing but failure. You have no idea. This movie that I want to make rests totally on whether or not this little child at the end cries. I think it does. I hate the idea of making a little child cry. But his cry could have unbelievable consequence in terms of making people feel that they should do something, if nothing else, vote. Vote their conscience, their heart, their emotions, whatever, and at the ballot box. If this child doesn't cry, I will find another way to work it. I will find a mother who does the crying for me. I'll get in front of the camera and start crying. I mean that seriously. I want to make a movie about the making of the movie so that I can just show people that you too, with an iPhone, can go out there and change things. When I met Rudy, one of the first things he said to me was, if you're going to do this practice, you have to do it every day for the rest of your life. That's a big commitment to make to somebody you just met. But I committed to one day. And then there were 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Here we are 50 years later, and it works. Something happens. Something happens if you take responsibility for making an effort to begin something, starting out. One step. I mean, you can get overboard. I started walking about 2.5 years ago, and now I'm into, you know, like 5 to 8 miles a day, which is insane because it takes more time than it should. And I'm actually on this trip cutting back from that, which is healthy. I'm trying to make it something reasonable. So you can overdo it. You can get kind of crazed. But what I'm saying is, within reason, move forward. Take on something in your life, whatever it may be. Just take something on because you can do it. And I love this idea, if you see something, say something, or do something. I love that idea. If you really feel something in life, move it forward. Take it somewhere. Do something with it. Whatever it is. And it's up to you to figure it out. And it doesn't have to have, you know, huge outcome. It can just be very, very simple, like bringing flowers to somebody. You know, just because the idea comes to you doesn't mean it should come and go. Get on the phone, call a florist and do something. You can live life like that, where you take on life And it becomes richer and richer and richer beyond your imagination. Because most people think, oh, well, it couldn't, but it wouldn't, but no, I don't think I can, and it's too much work, and I don't have the time to let... Well, and out of that comes people who sit home and watch television all night. Which is fine. I'm not going to say you shouldn't sit home and watch television all night, but there are other things you can do, might do, consider doing, and if you want to do them, start. Just take a step. It's kind of magical. It really is. It got me around the world. It's going to make this little commercial. Brought me to Hollywood. It gave me a career. You know, every time I started over again, it was really beginner's mind. Because, you know, every time I wrote another movie, it was like I'd never written one before. Every time was its own experience. Every time it was sitting down with a blank page. My pen or my, used to be a typewriter, and then it really was a computer, and it made it a lot easier. But it always started with a blank something. And in the blankness of that, everything was possible. Of course, the scary thing is, once you've typed the first word, you're in it. It's defining itself in some ways, which may appeal or not appeal. But let me tell you, if you can do it with no judgment, if you don't think it has to be this way and I can only do it if it's that way, then you'll stop yourself, you'll abort somewhere along the way. Just keep moving. Keep in motion. God loves those who are in motion because you are making the world, you are making life, you're living this extraordinary adventure of being. Helen Keller, blind, mute, wrote at some point, if life is not an adventure, it's nothing. And let me repeat that. If life is not an adventure, it's nothing. I understand why 80% of people live within 20 miles of where they were born. I really understand it. It's not a bad thing. My cousin Billy at his funeral had over 1,000 people, all who used to go to his drugstore. He had a full life. It was a wonderful life. He had 3 kids. They each had 3 kids, so he had 9 grandchildren, and very full, very beautiful. It's wonderful. But if that is not who you are, if there is an inkling of adventure in you, if that inkling leads you to, let's say, the meditative path, and everyone who's sitting here and probably listening has had some steps in that direction, let me tell you, the unfolding of a meditative path comes from 1 foot in front of the other, or 1 breath following another, or 1 still-pointed moment after another that goes further and deeper and expansively enriches your environment. You start to feel more and more present. You start to feel yourself collecting yourself from all of the distraction of the universe. You bring yourself in closer and closer to your own heart. You move inside, you sit still, and you go into this remarkable place, and you just feel this unbelievable welcoming inside, and you just go, ah. And then the adventure starts. The roaming, the journey within, the expansion beyond anything you can imagine. The world expands and expands and expands, and you expand with it. You go on an adventure, even though it may be based out of sitting still, it starts to reach out into the crevices of the known universe, and you come back with awareness and knowledge and wisdom and insight and appreciation and wonder and mystery, and you get to carry that into your daily life. So every time you wake up and you walk outside, or you step up from meditation and you step into the world, you bring all of this awareness, all of this discovery, all of this adventuring into the smallest crevices of your life. Everyone around you will be a beneficiary. Every person you know will look at you as someone who has seen things, who has stories to tell, who knows things, And if you share those stories, you will inspire them to do the same thing. And we're here to have rich, adventurous lives. We're here to take steps. We're here to begin the journey. And if you aren't yet beginning your own journey, think about it. What do you want? Get a blank canvas, some watercolors, or some real paint, a brush, pick a color, begun. The painting has begun. You have no idea where it will go. No idea. My grandson, he's 4 years old. I don't know why he's so intrigued by tiny little spaces, but he will take 1 inch of a coloring book and form, I'd say like 20 colors in that one little space. And it's like, you're dazzling. I don't know, he's so intricate with it. And it's so expansive and exploratory because he sees so much in a place where most people would just color really quickly, you know, with one color. He gets it. He gets that there's a journey in there. Sit down with a piece of paper. Get in your car and drive somewhere without knowing where. You don't have to know the destination. Go for a walk and go the other way than the way you normally go. All I can tell you is all of these choices change your life. They change it, deepen it, enrichen it, enrich it. But the beneficiary is you, and ultimately, everyone who knows you. Everyone. They will feel it, you will express it, they will draw from it, and you will serve people so well by sharing your journey. So, every journey starts with one step. Figure out what that step is. Take it. Any questions? I'm gonna go home and go to bed. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.